Thank you for listening to this sermon from Goodwill Church, located in New York's Hudson Valley. Goodwill Church is on a mission to be a hub of revival in the Northeast and beyond. For more information about our church, please visit goodwillchurch.org. Now, here's the sermon.
Good morning.
There we go.
To the bold and the beautiful. The bold for coming out on a dreary day that it would be a lot easier to just say, this is a nice day to stay in because it's dark, but it's also dreary. And to the beautiful, because you're part of the bride, Christ. So, this morning I'm reading from Psalm chapter 1, the very first book of Psalms. It's on page 528, church Bibles. Or read along in your Bible or listen as I read. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked or set foot on the path of sinners or in the seat of mockers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law, he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, yielding its fruit in season, whose leaf does not wither, and who prospers in all he does. Not so the wicked, for they are like chaff driven off by the wind. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord guards the path of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Would you pray with me? And if the Lord bears witness in your heart, anything that I pray, you can amen that. Dear Father, thank you for this important message. Help us to select our counsel with discernment. Help us to steer clear of the paths of the wicked. Those paths always lead us away from you. There's such a great contrast between the way of the righteous and the ways of the wicked. Surely you do not want us to be numbered among the wicked. Give us your law. You give us your law to guide our way, to bless us, make us healthy. Holy Spirit, help us to be faithful. Bring us up short as soon as we look to stray. May we listen to our conscience right away. May the path of your word become our way of life. As our pastor preaches, may he be fearless in setting forth the truth. We need to hear the truth. Empower him. We believe that you still give spiritual gifts for the benefit of your people, the church. We ask that you gift Jose with discernment. Gift him with wisdom. Help him to properly handle the teaching of your word. May we hear with understanding and go forth in obedience to what you are saying to the church this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
We're in the season where schools are coming to the end of the school year. There's graduations. There's excitement. as certain things come to an end, it's also a sign of new beginnings. And the story I'm going to tell you is a story that I think touches every school year. There's two friends who enjoy their high school time together. Both of them within the school were well known. One was more of studying and doing well. And then the other one was known for his sports, football. And eventually they go to college, to different schools. And the first one just mind his business, but really spent his majority of his free time reading God's word. And the second one would go and join one of the football teams, baseball teams, and he would just enjoy his college career. Both would graduate. And then they would get together at every reunion for high school. And at their 40th, the first young man, now older, getting ready for retirement, really never excelled in business. He was always happy just doing the best job he could. However, the one thing he never stopped doing was reading God's word. And as a result of that, he always was able to have great relationships, was able to be a member of a community where they did missions work and they sent people abroad. And the second young man, now also later in years, found himself struggling in life. His hopes and dreams of succeeding never panned out. He eventually moved back home, and he would be found at the corner bar just talking about the good old days. Right, and you would ask yourself, well, what made the difference? Right, and I believe the difference is the first individual, his willingness, regardless of where he was in life, to spend his time in God's word. That's what made the difference. Right, and the second individual, even though he knew of God, right, it's his actions really said, you know what, I'm going to live my life to the fullest. And in the end, right, he got exactly what he invested into his life. Right, so Psalm 1 is one of these psalms that shows us these two different paths. Path that individuals can take, right? And some would say that Psalm 1 is the gateway to all the other psalms. It is the psalm that sets up our understanding of the rest of them, right? So to understand this one is the most important. Now, the Psalms are in a collection of a genre called wisdom literature. And then within the wisdom literature, there's our additional titles, right, that we can ascribe to them. Right, there are Psalms when you're planting, there's psalms when you're harvesting, there's psalms as you return from war or go to war. There are psalms of when you are crowning a new king, right? And that's what this psalm will fall under, right? The beginning of a new king who's going to lead Israel. And then one would say, right, that this would be a psalm for believers like us, if we are believers, of how we would lead our homes, right? But one of the things that the psalm talks about is this idea of delight, right? What do you delight in? What do you enjoy? What do you take in? And as you're taking it in, you can take a deep breath and sigh and go, that's good. And the idea of delighting is that you never get tired of it. No matter how much time you spent with it. And then when we meditate, right, sometimes we as Christians have an odd way of handling this word of meditate, right? Because immediately we start to think of Eastern type of religions, right? And here's the difference when I talk about meditate or when Christians talk about meditate, right? It's Eastern religions talk about emptying your mind. Right, when I talk and when others talk about meditating as a believer in Jesus Christ, it is about filling your mind with God's word. Right? It isn't about emptying anything. Right? It is about filling your mind. And that's why the memory verses that we're going to do, right, during our Goodwill 300. And here's the thing, right? We're going to be doing that for 5 years, right, during different times of the year. And here's the goal, right? And you might say, boy, Jose, that's an extravagant goal, right? But our hope is that you will be able, in time, to remember and memorize 300 verses as we celebrate 300 years, right? And here's what, right? Some of us would say, oh, I'm too old. Oh, you know what? That's too difficult. I've never been able to memorize. And it's like, right? Here's the thing. You can do it, right? Right? You just got to spend time in doing it, right? I know many people that have memorized different books in the Bible, right? The book of James. Right, and the book of 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, right, Philippians. Right, to be able to have those verses at hand at any given time, especially as you're having a conversation with different individuals. But to delight and to meditate on God's word, where God's word is your anchor. Right, that regardless of what happens in life, you're not going to be blown away. And as Greg said earlier, right, it's a great psalm, right? And hear these words from verse 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. Right? And that word bless in the Hebrew is really a multiplicity of blessing, right? That you would be overwhelmed by your interaction with God's word. right? And in Hebrew poetry, right, they tend to focus on, here's what you should not do. However, if you read it this way, blessed is the man, right, who delights in the law of the Lord, and on the law he meditates day and night, right? That's pretty much what we're looking to achieve, right? But the author wants to make sure that you and I don't allow other individuals to have a voice into your life, right? So one of the questions you need to ask yourself, right? Who gives you counsel? Right? When you have an issue in life, who is speaking into your life? Right? And the psalmist would have a progression, right? One who walks, one who stands, and eventually one who sits. Right? So it's almost as if you're walking, right? They get your ear. Now you stop. Tell me more. You know what? I'll stay for dinner. Right? And there's a progression, right? And there's these triplicates, right? There's walking, standing, sitting. And then there's counsel, there's way, and then there's the scoffer, right? And ultimately, the scoffer is one who portrays himself as an actor, one who puts a mask on, right? One who makes himself look like somebody that he's not. In order to be that individual who receives God's blessing, right, the psalmist is saying, do not allow yourself to be influenced by those who are not in God's word. And here's the thing about counsel, right? Sometimes, if I'm not spending time in God's word, sometimes I am the worst person to get counsel from. Right? Because all of this is really connected to that next verse. But his delight, right? That sense of being with, enjoying every aspect, where God's law, his Torah, right? The very God who keeps his covenant promises with the children of Israel, he is the one that I am taking in, right? And it's not like I just do it a little bit. It's I spend time in God's word. And as I take it in, I then meditate. It fills my mind, right? And here's what Scripture says, day and night, right? It's not every once in a while, right? It's not when I feel like it. It's not when, you know what, once the company leaves, right? It's day and night. Just like that young man who went off to college, in the midst of everything he was doing, the one thing that was constant, even in marriage, even in raising kids, even in his 40 years, right, after leaving high school, the one thing that was constant was his time in God's word. And you can see and measure, right, the blessings over and over again, right? Because again, it's a multiplicity of blessing of Oh, the blessedness, right, is how another translation would say it. Are you that individual? Are you that individual that spends that kind of time in God's Word? Right? And right now, you should be judging yourself, right? Not in a harsh way, but just, do I do that? And if I don't do that, and if you're feeling convicted, then do it. Right? I think sometimes we think we need a different motivator, and God is not going to do for us what we can do for ourselves, right? He's presenting the answer. Our job is now to do it, right? And to invest our time in it, to delight in God's Word, to enjoy God's Word, to allow God's Word to just soak in and through, that when people look at us, right, it's what they see in our lives. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruits in season, and its leaves do not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. Right? To be planted is the illustration that the psalmist is giving us. To be planted in God's Word, so that God's Word would be the very streams of water. That all of a sudden, your fruit, my fruit, would point back to a relationship that I have with a holy God. That when you're supposed to produce fruit, the fruit shows up. Right? It's not like a guessing game. Well, maybe, right? In all that he does, he prospers. Are you one who has planted yourself in God's Word? The wicked are not, but they are like chaff that the wind drives away. Right? It's a picture of this great harvest, right? And they would take the grain as they harvested, and they would throw it up in the air. The grain would fall to the ground. And there on the threshing floor, that would be set on a knoll of a hill where there was always a breeze, right? And the chaff is very light, and the wind would just blow it away, right? And sometimes you and I know individuals that when there's crisis in their lives, right? It's almost like every whim takes them here and there. Right, and sometimes you look at them and you go, are you trusting in God? But you don't understand, Pastor. Okay. Because as a pastor, the only thing I got is God's Word. Right? That's all I got. Right? I'm only going to point you back to God. Right? I don't have any other answer. Right on. I have suggestions of other things, but in the end, it is God's Word that anchors us, even in the midst of strife. Right? That's a pile of chaff, right? It almost looks like sawdust, right? But the picture there is that none of that has any weight to it, right? If there was a breeze, it would just all blow away, right? And the psalmist gives us these two pictures, these two possibilities. A possibility of an individual being blessed which Scripture calls righteous, because of his investment in God's word, or the wicked? Those are the two choices that we have. So what do you want? Right? And if you want to be the blessed individual, if you want to be the righteous individual, then one of the things you have to do is spend time in God's word, to delight in it. Not to do it because you have to, but to do it because you want to. Right? Not because also, oh, the pastor told me I had to read it. No. Right? But because God convicted you, and it's like, you know what? I want to know what God's love letter is saying to me. Right? Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor the sinner in the congregation of the righteous. Right? Imagine, right, that I live my life, and for my entire life, I choose not to follow God, not to surrender to God, to live my life the way I want to live it. So when the time comes, at the end of my life, right, I don't even get to walk in through the doors. I'm judged outside of the doors. Right? That's the picture. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Two options, right? And throughout Scripture, right, there are all these different phrases that will point to two different options, right? Near the end of the Sermon on the Mount, in chapter 7, right, Jesus emphasizes this a few different ways, right? He talks about two gates, the narrow gate and the wide gate. He talks about two roads. He talks about two trees. He talks about two different types of fruit. He talks about two houses with two different foundations. Right, and there are other places, right, where there are these two choices. Right, and if you believe that you are a believer in Jesus Christ, then that saving work should lead you to one choice. Now, if you don't delight in God's word and you find it a nuisance, and it's like, oh, I don't want to do this, right? Maybe that's what's in question, right? And only God knows that, right? And for those of you who are readers, right? So I'm talking to Sherry up there, right? Because she's a reader, right? Right. So there's all kinds of different poetry that also gives us this picture, right? And probably the famous one is Robert Frost, right? And he would say, two roads diverge in the woods, and I took the one less traveled, and that had made all the difference, right? Right, the very road that looks a little bit difficult, looks like not too many people take this road, right? That's the one that made a difference. And here's why, right? Because according to Scripture, that's the one that God looks after, right? So life sometimes is difficult. Sometimes life is hard, but But if God is with you, he will see you through the journey. He will get you to the other side. Right? So there's two paths. Right? There's the path of the godly, and then there's the path of the wicked, right? Just like this picture, right? There's that path where it's graveled, it looks smooth, right? And you might be walking and go, oh, you know what? It's, I don't know if I can go through that other path, right? That looks a little bit unkept. Right, and don't let your eyes deceive you, right, in which path you should take. Right, sometimes the one that looks less pleasing is the one God wants you and I to be on. Here's why, because that's the one he's on, right? That's the one he's watching over, right? And what path are you on? Matthew 7, verse 13 and 14 says, enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Right? Scripture tells us. Right? It tells us. So we shouldn't be surprised when life is hard if we're following God. Right? We shouldn't be like, oh, this is so hard. Right? It's like, yeah, it is going to be hard. It is going to be difficult. But here's what he says, I'm with you. I'm with you. I'll get you to the other side. Right, and I'll end with this, right? Because sometimes, right, as we as believers, and probably more so we as at times Presbyterian, tend to struggle, right, with certain things that Scripture has for us, right? Because if we know our Bible, right, it's we heard, right, that in Psalm 1, that if I pray, if I meditate, if I read God's word, if I spend time with God, that that blessedness that is mine also puts me in a community of righteous believers, right? But that's the Old Testament. Where was the Holy Spirit? Is the Holy Spirit there? Is it not there? Is it regenerated? Didn't regenerate? Because didn't Paul say in Romans, right? Romans 3, right? As it is written, right? That's verse starting at verse 10 of Romans 3. None is righteous. No, not one. No one understands and no one seeks God. Right? So if you're Presbyterian or right, it's like, or if you know your word and you say, so how can we be righteous in the Old Testament? Right? But Paul was quoting Psalm 14. Right? And here's what Psalm 14, verse 4 says. Have they no knowledge, all the evil doers? Who eat up my people as they eat bread and do not call upon the Lord. Right? But sometimes in Scripture, you got to read a little further. Right? Verse 5. There they are in great terror, for God is with the generation of the righteous. You have to ask yourself, well, who are they? Who are they that Scripture is calling righteous? Right, and I believe it's the same one that Psalm 1 calls righteous. Right, and sometimes, right, it's we struggle, right, because yes, the New Testament shows us all the things that are kind of hidden in the Old Testament, right? And we ask the question, well, if in the New Testament we're justified by faith, does that also happen in the Old Testament? And I'm going to say yes, right? You just got to look for it. You just got to look for it. And that's why I'm going to say, read your Bibles, right? Read your Bible. Spend time in God's Word. Allow God's Word to expand your mind, right? And because here's the thing, right? God's way is a little narrow road, right? And it's a road that not too many people are on, right? And the question is, right, are you on that road? Let us pray. Lord, we do thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you that within Scripture, we see how we, as believers, can be individuals that are receiving your blessing, the blessing through the finished work of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And that is by investing in time with God through his word. So Lord, help us. Help us as our time comes to a close, as we sing this last worship song. And Lord, I pray that each and every one of us who are here would make that commitment to spend a little bit more time in your word, so that we would delight in it, that we would meditate with it, and that it would transform not only our relationship with you, but our relationship with the world that's dying. So Lord, we just thank you. We pray all of this in Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, would you rise as we worship our God?
Thank you again for listening to today's sermon. For more resources and information about Goodwill Church, visit goodwillchurch.org. God bless.